In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
At this time of year, we hear a song that I actually enjoy quite a bit. It's called, "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year." And we used to hear it a lot when we worked in the operating room this time of year. And I heard it recently, and I thought about all the things that make it wonderful. And the things that make it wonderful are those that point to its meaning. And the meaning is that the greatest gift that God could give us comes on, we commemorate on December 25th. And this, we have many different ways of showing how wonderful this is. And one of the ones that we tend to use a lot is that of lights. We adorn our homes, we adorn bushes, we adorn trees with different types of lights. And I have found, at least in my house, that women favor white lights and men tend to favor colored lights. But the inspiration for lights is a biblical one. And the first inspiration comes from Isaiah, where the verse that we all know in chapter 6 that those who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And it's this light that we're reminded of, that reminds us of what this season is all about. Remember the Star of Bethlehem, and there's many, many references in both the Old and the New Testament that associate life, light, with God. Does anybody know where light came from? Where did we get light? I see some people, it was in our Old Testament class, if that's a hint. So God created light. And when exactly did God create light? First day. When did God create the sun, the moons, and the stars? Fourth day. So we draw the physical light that we use outside of man-made light from the sun and the stars and the moon. But yet God, on the first day, his first command actually was, "Let there be light." So what does that mean with the sun and the stars that celestial bodies came 3 days later? Well, it means there's two types of light. In our gospel reading today, our Lord speaks about the two types of light and the absence if we don't have that light. And we know that the absence of physical light is blindness. And it's actually a medical definition for blindness. It's called light perception. If you cannot perceive any light, then you're blind. But even those that can perceive just a little light are still functionally blind because they can't make out shapes, characters. They don't have enough light, but they have some light. While our Lord talked about physical blindness, and in fact, in today's gospel reading, the healing of the blind man, the church sees such a connection with our spiritual lives in blindness that there are three separate Sundays that we set aside to discuss the healing of a different blind person by our Lord. The first is the sixth Sunday after Pascha, when we hear about the man who was born blind, the man who did not have eyes whatsoever. The seventh Sunday after Pentecost, we hear in the Gospel of Matthew of Christ healing two different people. Today's Gospel reading came from Luke, but it's also in Mark and in Matthew. So the church fathers placed a high emphasis on understanding blindness relative to our spiritual walk, understanding light. And so if we can determine that blindness, physical blindness, is without light perception, then what is the other type of blindness, the other type of light that we know that existed from the first day or before? And that's what our Lord talks about in each of the gospel readings that deal with healing of blind people. Physical blindness was very common in the days of Jesus, and there were many causes. We spoke about congenital causes, being born with it, vitamin deficiencies, dietary issues, trauma, degenerative conditions. Many people here have had cataract surgeries. They weren't available then. Very common type of blindness. But what about the other type of blindness? And what is exactly the other type of blindness? And the deeper meaning of the blindness that our Lord talked about throughout the New Testament was spiritual blindness, an inability to see the other type of light. And the other type of light, as we said, is knowing the presence of God. And that may be the best definition of faith that we can find, that we are sure, we're confident, we're certain that we're in the presence of God. And if we don't perceive God, then Christ talked about blind guides when he referred to the scribes and the Pharisees. And Christ and the prophets in the Old Testament spoke about having eyes, but you don't see, and ears, and you don't hear. So obviously not a physical impediment, but a problem with the other type of blindness, the much deeper type of blindness that really fills the pages of both the Old and the New Testament, and the reason why our Lord came this season. So in the gospel reading today, it says that Jesus was entering Jericho, and there was a blind man, and he heard a commotion. He said, "What's going on?" And initially, those around him were very helpful. And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth is coming." So immediately, he takes that information and he cries, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Everyone else is saying, "Jesus of Nazareth." He's saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Son of David is a messianic term. Isaiah wrote that we would know that the Messiah had arrived when the eyes of the blind would be opened, because no one had ever opened the eyes of a blind man before Jesus. It's one reason that he healed so many blind people, because it proved his divinity. So while everyone else saw with their physical eyes Jesus of Nazareth, the blind man with no physical eyes, but with what the church fathers call the eyes of the heart, he could perceive the presence of God. And so he cries out, and he actually makes it a prayer. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And we all know, if you just change the words a little bit, "Jesus, Son of God, Kyriesou Christe eleison me," "Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me." So he cries this out because he perceives it's God, because he's speaking and crying out in faith. The most amazing thing happens in the gospel. It said that God stops. So Jesus is walking, Jesus Christ, and he hears a prayer of faith, and God stood still. Isn't it a wonderful thing to think that if we pray and we pray with this type of conviction and faith, that God can stand still and listen to our prayer? What an unbelievable thing that our Lord told us in today's gospel reading. So then what does he do? He calls for the man to be brought forth to him. And then he asks one of the greatest rhetorical questions in the Bible. He's looking at the blind beggar, who's saying, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus asks, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" It seems like a silly question, but there's a lot of insight in this question. Christ frequently would ask a question like this before a healing. And it shows that God will never violate our free will. God, remember the icon says, "I stand at the door and I knock." So God will always ask to be invited in, but if we don't actually invite him in, then God will not do anything. So salvation, the Greek term is synergia, that it's a cooperation, a co-working of God and man. So he says, what is it you want me to do? And the man says, I want my sight. And really, Jesus doesn't do anything. He said, your faith has made you well. You have your sight. Well, what Jesus said was, you did it because with knowing that I am God, having your eyes of your heart working, you yourself made yourself well because of your faith in me. Pretty unbelievable thing. So then, if you look at the Greek on what Christ said, your faith has made you well, your faith has healed you, there's another clue about what just happened. Because in Greek, the verb, I heal, therapevo, is not the term that's used in this passage. The term that's used is a form of soson, which means to save. And so Christ said that you're saved, that Christ, and to save someone is to make them whole, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, particularly spiritually. So it was, and then when another reason that Christ asked, what is it you want me to do for you? When Christ makes us whole, it takes away all our choices. We no longer have our own will. Because when we're whole, we do is what it next says in the gospel. The blind man, it says, followed Jesus. He didn't have another choice. Once he was made whole, once he was saved, once Christ gave him his sight, but more than that, gave him his salvation, his only choice then was to follow Christ, which is what it says the man did. And so how do we know how good our eyes of our hearts working? Is there any test we can do in ourselves or each other to know, can we see God? Can we even have a little bit of light perception with the eyes of our hearts? Do we see a little bit of flicker of Christ? And the way we know that we have some sort of light perception in that sense is if we're following Christ. And the way we know that we're following Christ is we're doing his will. And yesterday, the church commemorated St. Porphyrios. And St. Porphyrios was canonized 4 years ago. There are many books that are written about him, and I suggest if you can find them to read them, they're widely available. Porphyrios. There's so much is known about him because he only died in 1991. I like him a lot because he was a hospital chaplain for 33 years. In the last many years of his life, he was blind. He couldn't see anything with his physical sight. But he was blessed with an ability to see someone inside them in a spiritual sense. And so he's a wonderful father confessor. And the way he said, the fruits of seeing the true light, of following Christ, is that in his own words, and this is a quote, how priceless it is if we follow the will of God and not our own will. So in this season, as we're looking at the lights, as we're thinking about what's going to happen on the 25th that we remember, May God always give us strength to give back to him the only real thing that we can offer God, the only thing that we have that's really ours that we can offer God that he'll never violate is our free will. And as St. Porphyrios said, how priceless it is if we give that away but follow the will of God. Thank you.